Hey, fellas.
Hi, man.
You guys look rested. Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good.
You have nice dreams last night?
I'm feeling a little sick.
Huh. Talking to Will mostly.
Sorry.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
Will, you must have had some nice dreams, huh?
I've had some really sweet dreams.
You remember them? You got a little logbook next to your bed there?
Yeah, I like to wake up and...
jot them down.
And I just sort of jot them down. And a lot of them, and then I wake up, and it's usually like math equations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You figure a lot of stuff out while you're
sleeping. Yeah, I've just figured a lot of stuff out.
You're crunching numbers.
Oh, here, like this one, if I do, I wrote this one, Y, and you move the equals to the power. Basically, translation is welcome to Smartless.
Oh, great.
Huh.
Smart.
Look at this guy.
Wait, which guy?
This guy.
Ricky's got the...
Is that Robbie?
Yeah.
It's Ricky.
Hey, Robbie.
Ricky. His name's Ricky.
Yeah, I know. I'm
Look
doing
at the
that to
size
upset
of this cone around his head.
That looks like an expensive cone. Usually, you just see just a regular plastic one that's kind of cloudy, and you've got a fabric cone.
Look at
him.
Look at the look on his face.
I know. He's got a cyst, like a big bump, like a big ball on his butt, here we go.
Yeah.
Will?
I think Will, I can hear Will's cogs turning, writing something hurtful.
No. Why would I?
He has a big cyst on his bottom, and they gouged it out, and so he has to wear this big cone.
Speaking of balls on your bum, Jay, how's your weekend been?
So they removed the balls from his bottom.
Yeah, like there was a big cyst on his tail.
Uh-huh.
They gouged it out.
And he was still able to get around there and chew it, lick it, kind of
it was
agitate
crazy,
it.
Yeah. Any chance he got, he would.
And so they put the cone on. How long's the cone been on the dog?
About a month. He's got another month to go.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. It was pretty intense.
I've never heard of a cone being on a dog longer than like a few days.
Look at this tail. Oh, you can't see it.
I can see it. But
they shamed it.
I think you might want to look into a different vet, someone that might charge you a little bit more, but
do it right.
Yeah, Sean, 2 months with a cone.
Maybe they can make a cone for you that stops you from eating Chinese food. You know what I mean?
What would that look like?
There's not a big enough one out there.
No.
No, he had a cone that was too small, so we had to sleep in shifts, Scotty and I, because he would, until we found the right size, because he's like 100 pounds.
I think your vet is really causing you a lot more problems than
I know, but
than fixes.
But we started watching The Crown, so we'd watch an episode and then fall asleep, but we'd poke up and anyway, who cares?
Yeah, I don't.
About. You didn't even need to speak. We could just see it on your face. Don't worry.
So The Crown would be your visual Ambien.
That was, yeah, because like for like a month we had to like sleep in shifts. So we'd each catch like an episode and then catch the other person up on what that episode
was. Well, I sure hope your guest isn't somebody starring on The Crown.
This is my guest.
It's his guest.
Oh, it's your, well, I hope your guest is, well, clearly your guest is not a cast member from The Crown.
No, but I love The Crown. The Crown's really good, isn't it?
Why do you use it to fall asleep with, then?
No, I don't use it to fall asleep. We would. That's what we do in the interim of swapping out.
That's what they do. That's what they do to stay awake.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
The Crown.
Yeah, it was so good.
It's very.
By the way,
good.
I'm so late to the party. Like I know it's like 10 seasons.
I'm even later.
I would love it.
I just saw the first 3 episodes of White Lotus. Finally.
Wasn't it good? Of the first season?
Yeah, the first season, yeah. And,
oh, wow.
I get it. I'm into
never
it.
Seen
I'm
it.
On it. Yeah?
No.
Come on in, Will. Water's great.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I'm such a contrarian, though, that I'm like, no. Everybody else has seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do on our little break in between shows?
I
wrote reviews for White Lotus. I just went and wrote scathing reviews, even though I'd never seen it. And I love Mike White.
Yeah.
Love that, Mike.
Now, what'd you do, JB, on your little break ski?
I made some oatmeal for my colon. Oh, and my daughter asked me a bunch of questions about why I like it and why. And I told her. And then she tasted it. She said, huh. I said, would you like me to make you a bowl? She goes, yes, a small one, please. So I made her a bowl of oatmeal. And she walked me through all of her studies that she's going through for chemistry right now. She's got a chemistry final coming up. And I never took chemistry in school.
No way.
I don't know how or why. That looks difficult.
Yeah.
In their defense, in your school's defense, might be dangerous to do chemistry on that bus on Wilshire.
Bunsen burners and beakers.
You know what I mean?
I told you that story about my...
You sure did. Yeah. You don't remember anything, do you?
Nope.
No.
You went to school on a bus.
Well, just for 1 year. That was Heartlight.
But it was one continuous year. It never stopped moving, the bus. It was just one.
Well, no. Those are just on the city days. The city days were on the bus, right? Where we go in, and for the listener that hasn't heard this before, we drive the base of the school was out at this dude's house in Calabasas, which
sounds
is out of
safe.
Deep West Valley. Not accredited, shocker, this school. We'd get on a converted full-size, large, yellow school bus, where the back half of it was converted into desks, front half was still...
Was your driver Charles Manson, or...?
He did smell of weed and patchouli, but I didn't get his name. So we would have these long drives into the city as we go to these cultural places, like museums and whatnot, and the hippie that started the school thought it might be productive to do schoolwork in traffic while we're on our way to these museums. That's why he converted the bus. So while we're on the Ventura Freeway for an hour and a half, we do schoolwork. And then the country days, the odd days in the week, we'd be out at the house there in Santa Barbara, in Calabasas.
What if Will and I left our little... We were still telling the story.
Yeah. No, but there's a
and then
teepee
a country days. And then on the weekends,
were country days at his house? Or was it a lot of like raking his yard and like vacuuming his living room?
You're not far off. We would start each day in the teepee, and then we'd go into his house, and you could take history, math, or massage. That's a true story.
That's not true. Jason, this
swear
is
to God,
creepy.
There were 20 kids, all from like fourth grade to senior in high school.
Well, who wouldn't take the massage, by the way? I mean, like, you get out of
the massage class.
The massage
class was packed. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so creepy. All right. Well,
that's why I'm so smart, you guys. Have you ever wondering why?
I'm going to get right to our guest who's been so patiently waiting. She's a very special girl.
Really?
Yeah. Besides her incredible talent, this woman is often praised for her impeccable style and fashion. She'd said that probably from an early age when she'd borrow her mom's clothing once she saw her car pull out of the driveway in the morning. She'd borrow the clothes. Ditto. She's one of the co-founders of the Time's Up movement, which she helped kick off at the 2018 Golden Globes the year after she won for Best Actress in Black-ish. You guys... It's Tracy Ellis Ross.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Look at her go. Look at her go.
Now, you know, hello there.
Hi.
Listener, she's just wearing a simple blue sweatshirt, maybe, or sweater. Yeah. And so you're known for your styles, but yet you're keeping it very safe. I noticed that with hairdressers that are really good at hair, they have shaved heads.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I used to work in fashion.
Hi.
We like to jump right in.
Hello. Yeah. And I did notice back in the day that fashion editors would wear like sort of a blank canvas. Like they were all black.
Just a little uniform.
Nothing, it was like kind of like a uniform. And then
something
super
safe.
Well, I feel like if you work in fashion, if you do fashion, if you love fashion, but no, I love the extravagance of it, the glamour.
Yeah, I think I said this before on the show, but not to you, Tracy. So, but you're so right because I went to this years and years and years ago. I went to Milan to watch this Armani show, and afterwards there was like this party.
Must have been like going to space for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was like, I have to leave the house. And I went to then he had like this after party at his house, and I asked one of the guys who worked there, it was like a waiter or something. I'm like, can I go look at his closet because I wanted to see.
It was all the same. Wasn't
all
it?
The same outfit. All the
exactly
same outfit.
Exactly the same, yes.
Really?
Yes.
30 of the same outfit.
What was the outfit? Yeah.
Black suit.
It was a navy t-shirt and jeans.
Oh.
Interesting.
Really?
No.
Just 1,000 pairs of jeans.
There's a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a uniform.
Not for me.
Serial killers do that too, I think.
Yes. That's one of the telltale signs of a serial killer.
I think Jason's teacher wore that.
The difference with a serial killer, Will, is that they don't have multiple pairs. It's just one.
Yeah, just the one. You're right.
Nothing that shows blood too well either.
You're right.
But and you just it's the same one.
But I was talking about the guy who's got you go to his closet and everything's the exact same. And then they do end up committing, I'm not suggesting Armani did, but if that person, they said, turns out they were a serial killer, we'd say, was there ever any inkling that he would? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What was the first
always,
time?
There was always an inkling.
We never knew.
Yeah. No, we always knew.
First of all, hi, Sean. Hi. I love
wait,
you.
Wait,
so
no.
Much.
So do you guys know each other?
We ish, yeah.
Oh,
get it?
Look
Black
at the way.
Ish. No ish.
Plugging the show already.
Oh, know each shit. Other. It, know each other ish. Should
no,
be.
No, there's like
a
connection. There's a spiritual connection. I live for this girl. I love her. I think
how did
amazing.
You meet? How did you meet you two?
On the Jimmy Kimmel show, but I think we met before that too. When I was a guest
that.
Host and I interviewed you on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
All right, so listen. So you were born in LA, by the way, like Jason was. And
I was born in LA.
Yeah,
so I did not go to school on a bus.
I was going to get into that. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. There was no massage class.
No.
So I was born here in 1972. Actually went to the center way back then, Center for Early Education, before it was this thing that it is now. Lived here until my mom was going to New York to do the Wiz.
Wow.
And then was in New York.
Let's make sure listener knows who mommy was.
Barbara Streisand.
Yep. Wow. Interesting.
Diana Ross.
Right now, Sean's sister is like, fucking what?
Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand's daughter.
My mom is Diana Ross. My dad is Bob Ellis Silverstein.
Yeah.
And was in New York, went to school there until seventh grade, then moved to Paris because my mom was supposed to do a movie there. She also met her husband, and lived in Paris and went to the American school in Paris for a little while, and then moved to Switzerland and went to Le Rosé, and then moved back to the States. Oui, je parle français.
Oui,
moi aussi. And then, you're a Canadian, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't speak. Okay, yes.
Okay.
You speak French? You speak fluent French?
Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. By the
enough
way, it should be pointed out that Tracy, when she goes, and then my mom had the and just whatever, her whatevers are more interesting than the bulk of my story.
Yes, right. But let me just, that's my kind of question is,
okay.
Is like, because in Chicago, I didn't grow up around like, you know, in this town, which you're surrounded by fame and all that stuff. So I, you know, I didn't have a sense of other. Well, our senses of other is different, right? It's for opposite reasons. So what was that like as a kid, I wonder?
Well, it's all you know. So it's all I knew. The nice thing was that when I went to school, first of all, my mom is a mom before anything else. So she's. Yeah. I didn't have the sort of fantasy life of what people imagine it would be or what you see in reality shows, for example.
Yeah.
That was not my childhood.
Right.
And yes, I had incredible opportunities. I went to school in Switzerland. I went to the best schools and, you know, Marvin Gaye called our home and Andy Warhol painted me and blah, 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 all these things that are very extraordinary. I'm looking
at,
yeah. You know, so those things are extraordinary, but because my mom was such a mom, Jason, your face right now is amazing.
I just think it's so great.
I know, it's
amazing. So because of all that, but there was a sense of normalcy to my life. And I didn't know there was something different. And then when I went to Dalton, In New York,
yeah.
The other kids that I was going to school with were Ralph Lauren's kids, Robert Redford's kids. So that was taken off the table for us.
Right.
So it wasn't a thing.
Right.
Only as I've gotten, you know, as I became an adult and realized the magnitude of the fact that my mother's an international treasure, as they say. Uh-huh. You know, just a goddess of
well,
things.
I mean, you joke about it, but she's an
I'm
icon.
Not joking.
No, I know.
No, you're not, but you have to couch it in that.
I have to say, you've achieved the impossible and you're an icon. Like to me, the best example I can think of, when you watch Janet Jackson, I don't think of Michael Jackson. When you watch Michael Jackson, I don't think of Janet Jackson. When you watch Diana Ross, I think of her. I think of Tracy Ellis Ross as two completely different people.
And you're surprised to know that, Diana Ross, that's the Ross. Wow.
Yeah. It's actually funny. When people, you know, I do look a lot like my mom. And then I also look a lot like my dad. But people are surprised and it's fun because they're like, you didn't tell me. I'm like, why was I supposed to tell you that? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
And we will be right back.
We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm-fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it, first of all. An absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi Ice Cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi Ice Cream today.
All right, back to the show.
Wait, so tell me about when you were a kid, because I heard the story once, but it was a while ago, that you grew up in a family of 5 kids or 5 people?
So we're five, my mom has five kids, but we were three girls with my mom. And then 15 and 16 years later, my brothers were born.
And so tell me about getting the Wiggles out or something.
Oh, yeah. It's Rhonda, Tracy, Chudney, Ross, and Evan, just to get through the siblings. And my mom is one of six. So it's a big family. Like the immediate family is like 22. Everybody, all my siblings have husbands or wives and multiple children. I'm the like lone single lady who, you know, just gets to come and go.
Nice. But what do you think is wrong with you? Sorry. Jesus. Fuck, sorry. Sometimes
that
there's a long list.
I'm so sorry that I just said it like that. I didn't
our drunk
co-host.
What I meant was, how's it going?
So far, so good. I mean, I just turned 50, and I think I just started working some of this shit out.
Oh, believe me, I'm 52, and I am not even close to halfway working it out.
At 12 years old, I said to my mom, I think I need a therapist. Yeah. Well, at 12. Yeah.
I wish I'd known there was such thing as therapy at that age.
I don't know how I knew.
You grew up in L.A., New York. I think that's kind of stuff. I didn't have sushi till I was 22.
Yeah,
I love that's the marker. I couldn't even think of a fish.
Yeah,
nigiri.
Okay, wait. You asked nigiri. You asked about the Wiggles.
Wiggles. I was
a very hyper child and very silly and. And I also really loved, it was, my sister Rhonda is very cerebral and I'm very physical. Yeah. And so it was really frustrating for my sister, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
And so I was just very energetic and I always, you know, and so my grandmother said it was the 12-year-old giggles, the 8-year-old giggles, the 9-year-old giggles, it just kept going, it never stopped. And so my mother, in order to keep the peace at dinner, would say, would you like to go outside and get your Wiggles out? And I would say, yes, I would. And so I would go outside the glass sliding door at the dinner table.
A dog has zoomies.
And I would bounce around out there, like trying to get my sister to laugh, like trying to do stuff. And then I would come back in and it would make me even more hyper. And my mom would say, and are they out? And I would be like, I don't know. And then, nope, I think there's a few more. And I would go back out and do it again and come back.
Like a doggy has zoomies.
God bless my siblings. It was actually funny. There was a period when one of my brothers was going through a phase and I was like, Rhonda, I'm just so worried. And she goes, worried about what? I'm like, how he's going to turn out. She goes, what? I said, well, I mean, you know, like with all this going on. And she goes, you figured it out and you were 10 times worse.
Wow.
Really? She was like, nightmare. I was a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Was there, do you remember the moment, if there was a moment where you wanted to pursue something in the public and then you thought, well, am I going to be able to live up to what I'm, I always worry about that with children you know.
It's a whole thing.
Do you want to drop the hammer on her? Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Well, it'd be good for you.
Hammer? Because what was yours?
Well, my question is, mine are more like growing up in L.A., did you ever, while you were driving, did you ever see like a school bus with kids giving each other massages go by?
That was me.
I want to get to your question, but can I tell you, because I feel like I told you this, like waiting for our cars at an award show. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you again while other people can hear it, because it's so good. So Silver Spoons.
Yes, huge fan.
Okay, very big. Very big during our age group.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody loved Ricky. They loved Ricky Schroeder. I was like, no, I'm the Jason girl.
Sure.
You were the one that was teen beat, like that I would pull out and put on my wall.
Yeah.
And then
you had to flip through a few pages before you got to me.
I found it. And so, and then now for some reason, whenever I'm asked like childhood crush, I can never get it right. And I say Justin.
Yeah.
Because I combine you with your sister.
Yeah. Because
she was pretty. Do you ever get that, Jay?
Three times.
Do you get that all the time? Really?
Oh yeah,
at least.
Oh, I thought that was unique.
No, I get Justin all.
I will say he's really good about it. I've been with him many times with people, and they'll go like, "Isn't that right, Justin?" You'll go, "Yep." Yeah.
Oh my God! He doesn't even flinch anymore.
It's exhausting.
But yes, you were. All these other people were so dumb. I mean, look Oh, that wasn't nice.
Yeah. I'd have those same Teen Beat magazines looking at Jason too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does that make you were like awkward? a teen heartthrob.
Hey Sean, why don't you walk us through that?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Will.
Beautiful, Will.
Unbelievable.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm terrible today.
I want to get back to your question though.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, so okay, I mean, good for you that you didn't like let that be a barrier and like, no, screw it. I don't wanna have it fail or not be able to live up to her, you know. And
that still haunts me.
There's a misconception that you could have been anything you wanted just because of where you came from, but that's not how it's helped you.
Well, a couple things. Like, if you think back to when we were younger, are we all in the same age range?
Yes.
Sean, you're younger.
Yes, yes.
I'm the youngest. No, I'm 52.
Okay.
You are the youngest, actually.
Yeah, of us
well,
three.
Well, of us, of the three of us. But
Tracy, Will, you
today,
play the youngest, don't you? What's the oldest you can play, Will? What do you think the oldest
I could stretch
play?
To 44, probably.
Yeah, true, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stretch.
When you do that, I would say I would give it a 60.
Would my eyes get like this?
Yeah, Jesus. I love smoke in the room.
We call that smoke in the room.
Really tightening things up there, yeah.
Is that like a guy thing?
We'd go along red carpets and we'd see other actors doing, we'd be like, oh, look, it's real smoky over there. Some guy be getting his foot
squinting.
Be like this.
What's going on?
I've had to learn how to not be an over peaker on the carpet.
Yeah, where you look
if
over your shoulder.
If you can see your tonsils, it's like a problem. Like, I'm like,
oh, not. That.
A I've big had to open
like,
mouth.
Yeah, like turn it down to a 2. Like, I'm on like 11 on a carpet.
Yeah, me too.
You know, when I was growing up, and when we were younger, being a child of was not what it is now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would change their parents' last name. And I think from a really young age, I was very aware of the fact that people were paying attention to me because I was an extension of someone they loved, mm-hmm. as opposed to because of me. And because of that, yeah. I felt very compelled to figure out who I was, what I wanted, who I wanted to be. And that was my driving force. It was challenging, you know, I mean, like growing, not challenging, that's the wrong word, but people, I used to have the metaphor that people would unlock the door and then sit on the other side, like, how's she going to walk through? As opposed to being excited or like, oh, this is so intriguing. Yeah. But mm-hmm. No, I mean, like everybody in this business, and especially at that time, I really had to like fight my way through and make a lot of failures. And
yeah, you turned it into a positive. It sounds like where you knew that the bar was going to be higher, there was going to be more scrutiny, and so you really
It's arguably harder to do because you have so many more preconceived notions, but coming into the room as opposed to some other performer who comes in and there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing.
Blank slate. Yeah. You know, I think the singing, like, I actually wanted to be a singer. That was what I wanted to do.
But guess what? Love Myself. I love that song. You did it. You're a singer.
So at 40-something, how old was I? I don't know. I did a movie where I sang. And let me tell you, that, like, the internal journey on that was real challenging. Facing that monster myself. And I remember seeing, God bless her, Lisa Marie, when she had come out with her first album, and they obliterated her.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They obliterated her. And I was like 16 years old at the time, I think. And I was like, oh, that's not a good choice. Like, that's a hard path.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, I did The High Note and I recorded songs and I made it through that terrible,
fucking great
sort of internal monster of I'm never going to be my mom. And I realized I'm never going to be my mom. I'm never supposed to be my mom.
You're never supposed to be your mom. And you killed it. And you killed it. It's so good. I love that song.
I always used to say to myself, yeah, I mean, you're a failure. Like, you will never actually enter the Super Bowl in a halftime show in a helicopter. Like, babe, it's all going to be garbage.
But you don't need to. Yeah, you
nobody's going to care.
But wait, what about, but didn't you have an embarrassing moment in high school or something where you sang?
I sang an a cappella song and I started on the wrong key and my voice cracked and I panicked and like froze. And then I tried again and messed it up again. And the entire audience started going, you can do it. You can do it. And my best friend at the time like came on stage and hugged me and I did it again. And and then I was like, that's it. We're good. We've handled that little singing desire.
I had, I talked about it before. I had, it's the same kind of thing when I was doing a show called, guys?
Promises
on Broadway.
Incredible.
Where I had, it was like the pressure.
I didn't.
Oh, what was your favorite scene?
It was incredible.
It was the pressure.
Will, you're asleep on the mic. Will, you're asleep.
Okay. Yeah. Good night, Oscar. What was my cue? Shit, I'm sorry.
Opens April 24th. The
Which theater?
Belasco.
Blesko. Oh my God, I didn't even remember.
I know more than you. But anyway,
the pressure of singing in front of all these people a solo song is a lot. Like when everybody's looking at you to sing great, yeah. And then you have like the X Factor and American Idol and you know The Voice and all these singing competition shows where people judge you for singing. And so all that pressure was, and it made me not be able to sing. And I was like, I got to quit. I quit. I got to get fired. Please fire me. I can't do this anymore. And then I went to therapy and I got over it and then I sang fine. But I know what you mean about like cracking or anything. It really is like traumatizing.
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, there's nowhere to hide.
No, there's nowhere to hide. I will tell you now, like, there's nothing I like better. During the filming of that movie, I was like, get me on a stage with a mic and an audience. Just
really?
Just get out there and listen. Just listen to me. And if I'm not singing, I'm going to be talking. Listen, let me change my clothes so you can see another outfit. Look up. Listen, sit there. Don't go to the bathroom. I got more. It's like, there's nothing.
I love this character.
I'm like, hold on a second. I got more to say. Nope, I didn't ask you a question. I'm answering myself. Thank you so much. Like, I just want to like get in there and just keep going. That's hysterical.
Remember Star Search? Are we all old enough to remember Star Search?
Yes. That was the first
one, wasn't it? Sam Smith,
Sam Smith.
Was on Star Search?
Do you remember he was the one? Not Sam Smith.
Not Sam Smith. Sam.
Oh, God. He sang the Star Spangled Banner.
Over the Rainbow. And Sam Harris.
Sam Harris.
Yeah, he is amazing.
You do remember him. If I showed you him right now, and he was like, whoa.
Oh, God.
He like, really went
in there. Amazing. He was amazing.
And this was Ed McMahon was the host, right? All by himself. He didn't have a co-host with him, did he?
No. I remember that.
Oh Star Search, that was like the first American Idol or something.
Rosie O'Donnell was on Star Search.
I was going to say, it launched a bunch of people, I think.
Yeah, remember that?
I should bring that back.
Anyway.
If you're at home, just Google it right now. Go ahead, we'll take a second. Take a look, and you can see, catch up what we're talking about.
Ed. You know, I was just talking about the other day, we are also the generation that remembers Ovaltine, Tang.
Yes.
Tang. I'm trying to think of some of the other things I was trying
college
to think of.
College, all
day.
I drank was Tang.
Tang.
It was just, you needed water.
Same here at college, dude. I was just knee deep in Tang.
Crushing
the drink. What is your problem, dude? I can have a conversation without being, you know what? You don't need to say poo. You don't need to say the other part.
No, because I just got it. All right, so listen.
oh, man.
So wait, Tracy.
I'm sorry, Tracy. Mm-hmm.
First of all, that's my sister's name, and I love her, and I love you. All right, so listen.
Your sister Tracy, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A big fan of the podcast. So listen, I heard you on... Believe me, I get it. I heard you on Glenn and Doyle's podcast, and you were fantastic. And
I
get it because you always talk about. We talk about this too, about like how you love being home, and you know you wished you wanted to go out more when people invited you to cool places, but you don't often like to go out.
It's like the weird tangle between wanting to be invited and also like not.
Right. Yeah. But I love this quote of yours, which is so great. You said, I'm an introvert who plays an extrovert in life.
Yeah.
I think that's true, yeah.
I think that's a lot of people.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
I would love to not go out every time it's time to go out.
You don't play an extrovert.
I don't even try.
You don't do anything. You're an introvert who acts like an introvert. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because I got Amanda right there. It was just like the greatest extrovert. So I can just lay back, let her do all the talking and socializing.
You got a built-in bad guy is what you got. Don't worry. I know this.
Travel with your bad cop.
A little bit.
Tracy, how are you single?
I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of
sorry.
Amazing.
Let's get back. No, let's get back to Will's question because I'm broken.
Wow.
No.
Why would you break yourself, Tracy?
No.
What guy wouldn't go nuts
for you?
Well,
you know what my theory is, Sean? I feel like I'm a unicorn, and so it's hard to find another one.
Yeah.
It's not to say that I have had a boring life.
You know what? The one thing that's true about all unicorns.
What?
They're really horny. Hey, guys. guys.
I can't believe we're laughing.
I just snorted. That is just inappropriate. That was the worst joke.
It's one of the worst jokes. By the way, also,
they're not good. None of them are good.
There's only one unicorn. That's the whole purpose of a unicorn.
There's a village of unicorns, Will.
What?
We'll be right back. Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, And I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool. And I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing. So maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, back to the show.
Let's talk, how about this for a segue? I want to talk about your career and how great you are and how amazing Black-ish was and that it's off the air now. And do you wish it was still on the air? Did it end at the right time? Did you, you know, and by the way, I remember hearing some story about how you used to make yourself cry as a kid and something like that.
I did.
To become a better actress or something
like
that.
Well, yeah, my favorite thing to do is like I would get upset about something and cry and then I would just lay down and I would notice the tears were just puddling on the floor and then I would move myself as quickly as I could towards a mirror to just see what it looked like. And I could look at it. Oh, God. Is that good? I don't know. Just sort of really trying to just see.
Oh, my God.
What it
looked
like.
Do you have a cry trick? Do you have a certain thing that you
That's
think
so
about
funny.
That can
I
bring
just
the
think
tears?
Of the most awful thing that, yeah. Like my worst nightmare of what could happen. Somebody right. being gone. Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same
it's
thing.
It's terrible.
It's so bad to do to yourself.
It's so bad for your soul. Like, yeah. It is just terrible. I remember on Black-ish, we had a scene where that's that season when Dre and I were getting a divorce and then it all ends with, like, Bo's father dying. And I have to say Bo's father dying because I kept... We did this scene. I was supposed to be a mess crying hysterically. And then we're on a comedy. So then they were like, all right, let's get to the next scene. And I was like, I'm still, like, my dad died.
Be
like,
sensitive.
I'm still, the wound is still open inside my soul. And
I haven't stopped rolling yet.
I'm still bleeding inside. Just give me a second. But it's, like, impossible. Like, how do you,
I'm still rolling.
No one said cut in there, okay?
You're still crying on the way home.
Yeah.
Still no one said cut.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. What did you ask? You ask if, I think, you know, I did 8 years on Girlfriends and 8 years on Blackish.
Yeah, I know. Wow. What a career. I mean, that's crazy. Two big shows.
That's crazy. And I think it was perfect timing for it to be done. The beauty of Blackish ending was we knew it was ending. Mm-hmm. So I was able to walk into the last year, the last season, so present to sort of all of it.
That's right.
And to actually get the ritual of saying goodbye and having it be over. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Girlfriends, we didn't know. We ended the last episode that we shot of Girlfriends, I directed, and it was during the writer's strike. So we had no writers on set, and then we just disappeared. There was no rap party. Yeah, there was no nothing after 8 years. Yeah. So this was really special to be able to sort of finish this way.
That's like whenever I have a gathering at my house, people just leave, and
you don't even know.
Go, wait, where did everybody go?
They were like, we didn't like
it. You just hear the door slam.
Yeah.
It's like dad screeching tires.
That's my dad leaving. Wait, we didn't have a rap party, dad.
But wait, Tracy, that's 16 years.
I know.
That's crazy, right?
Of sitcom television, of episodic television. I mean, that's so long. That's an incredible run.
And lucrative. And very lucrative.
Hold on. I'm a black actress.
Okay.
Now please continue. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I've done well, but let's compare.
For sure.
Compare. Fucking.
Now, is it true that when mom used to drive out of that driveway and she was away, you try on her dresses and her outfits, and that's where fashion comes from? Because, you know, I do.
I try it. Put it on.
You put it on.
No,
yeah,
I would take it. No. It was even worse. I would literally. She would be pulling out of the driveway. I would go look. She's pulling out. Great. And I would go into her bathroom, into the closet, and I would start taking everything I wanted, throwing it over my arm to move it into my closet for the time she was gone. So it's like I would open my closet as if these things were mine. Uh-huh. And one time she came back, she had forgotten something. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I am going to surprise you by organizing your closet.
No way. Did you really?
She was like, that's amazing. I was like, I know, but go. Get out of here. What'd you forget? Let me get it for you. Stop it.
That's hysterical. Wait, so, and is that where is your mom the inspiration for loving fashion, or?
I don't know.
Because I follow you like a crazy person on Instagram, and all of your like gorgeous, you always look so gorgeous in
Thank
all
you. I
of
love
the stuff
clothes.
You wear.
I will always shop, and there will always be dirty dishes in my sink. Mm. Combination of both. Mm-hmm. Two things that are just true about me. But I stack the dishes nicely because I'm extremely organized. Fashion was an armor for me.
Yeah.
And looking back, I've actually realized it was one of the ways that I sort of protected myself from the world and fought microaggressions and racism. Mm-hmm. In the world that I lived in, I would navigate myself and my external appearance in a way that gave somebody an impression. That and my articulateness. And I would sort of dive in a way that, like, you cannot belittle me.
I love that.
Not only my clothes telling you that, but... and also around men and whatever. Like, I just was able to sort of clothe myself in a way that told the world what I wanted them to know about me. And now it's a creative expression.
Age do you think? That's such an interesting... what age do you think that you started, A, doing that, especially sort of against the microaggressions, and B, did you become actually cognizant of the fact that that's what you were doing?
I wasn't cognizant of that until now.
Oh, wow.
Because I started to think back. I can't remember who I was talking to. And I was like, wait a minute, that was fascinating. Because as I said, I've always loved clothes, and so I was always a shopper. Like, but a lot of it was, there's a way you're not going to talk to me because I'm presenting myself in a particular manner. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a part of it. You know, as Black people in this country, there is an idea of who we are, mm-hmm. Black and brown people. And so there's an external presentation that is expected that goes into... respectability politics and all of these different things. There's a way to sort of play into that. And I used clothing as one of those weapons for myself. I don't think I realized it, but it was from young, because I also am a person who was very independent from a young age, and I always looked older than I was. I had to prove to people that I was younger, you know, and didn't have an ID or something. Mm-hmm. And some of it was my sort of stature, and I've always been very, like, I've always looked older for my age and sort of very articulate and clear mm-hmm. in my communication. And so, yeah. I don't know. But now it's just a way I spend my money.
If this character doesn't hit the road, I'm going to fucking snap. Yeah.
There's a couple of characters. They're behind me. You can't see them. But there's Madame Iver, who's the alcoholic acting coach.
Related to Bone at all?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Bone Iver.
No.
Hey, how dare you, fuckers.
You're a dear, sweetheart. You're such a dear. Oh, I love the way you smile. It's wonderful. Yes, yes. Madame Iver, and she's all eyebrows. There's a picture behind me. Apparently, I've done this my whole life, and my mom, one day, I was on the phone with my mom. She started talking in this weird voice. I was like, Mom, what are you doing? She was like, I'm just doing what you're doing. And I was like, I don't know what you're doing. So I'm not sure. She's like, you always do this when you're telling stories. You just go into different voices. And I was like, do I? And yeah, so I apparently do this all the time.
I love it.
Let me ask you something about fashion. How do you know what is happening right now? Like, is there an agreed upon magazine that, like, oh, if you see pictures of, let's say, like, how would you know that overalls are back? Is, like, if it's in Vogue or if it's at the store?
Here's the thing, though. So
there's a difference between style and fashion, in my opinion.
Thank you. Amen.
It's like a difference between spirituality and religion. Style is how you do things. It's sort of the, and fashion is the sort of what everybody is saying is in or out. Oh my God, Will, what are you about to say?
Sorry, I'm just agreeing with you and I'm listening to you tell these two heathens. Keep going, Tracy. We're on the same page. Go ahead.
And so, for me, I really don't follow what's in and out. There are things that will tell you what the trends are and you'll start to see, but it's just like with anything. There's a zeitgeist and, like, certain things come in at the same time, and then there's, you know, an Anna Wintour or whomever, Edward Annaphil, who will tell you, like, this year the trend is overalls, pink lips, and black nails. You know what I mean? But for me, I think that I should wear my clothes and they shouldn't wear me. So I follow what makes my heart sing. And the truth is, the things that I wear have been my body's been the same. The shape of my body's been the same, slightly changed, but I still wear the same shapes, high-waisted pants, wide leg trouser. I do love an overall. I love a big chunky shoe, always have. You know, it's like those things are the same
but
for
girls
me.
But girls have so much more options than guys. The guys, it's like a suit.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Yeah. You can wear whatever you want.
But like I always feel guilty
like
when Amanda is like, you know.
Sorry, I just heard my name. I was asleep for a second.
I think guys have it so easy. Like, you go to some, like, black tie event. Well, it's just a tuxedo. Great,
that's what
I'm done in 10 minutes.
But have you guys looked, though, if you, like, notice now, like, men are leaning into all these different spaces and wear skirts. And, I mean, didn't Brad Pitt just wear a skirt for his press junket or something? You can wear whatever you want. Jason, I would love to see you in a skirt or some sparkles.
Sure.
Wait, didn't you run into Brad at the Oscars or something, and you were, like, totally starstruck?
I ran into Brad. Brad did not see me, but I saw him. We made eye contact.
Oh, that's it.
He is handsome.
That's it. I love that.
That is a good-looking dude.
Oh,
I'll say.
It's like weird. Who's the other one? There was someone else recently, and I was just like, what is wrong with that face? Why does it look like that? It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Obviously wasn't any one of us.
Keanu Reeves.
So,
you know what?
Yeah, no, it's okay. We'll just.
What was that, Sean? Hold on a second. Did you say Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves.
High on your list, Sean?
Keanu, no. She's not. I love Keanu. I'm a huge fan. He's a good looking guy. He's not my type.
Yeah.
No.
I mostly have dated black men. But as a youngin, it went like this. Jason.
Yep.
Yep.
Then I think it was Keanu.
Okay.
Mm, yep.
Really?
And I've never been like a Brad Pitt fan. Like he was not like a crush from movies. But when you see him in person, it's like weird.
Startling.
Yeah. Like, you're just startling. Like, my God, what is happening with that face?
Yeah, he's got tons of riz.
It's really extraordinary.
What's riz?
Riz.
I'm not explaining it
to you guys. You guys don't.
You have to, because I'm a guest and I don't know.
Riz is like what all the kids, like my kids say, they all talk about. They'll talk about like a guy who's got like game or like charisma.
Riz. Yeah, that's like, amazing. I'm totally stealing that.
Yeah, riz.
My kids hate it because I use it all the time and they're really embarrassed by the way that I use it. I'm like,
why don't you switch it to ma? Yeah. This guy's got a lot of ma.
I actually kind of like that too.
You know?
Ma. But the charisma, the thing is, as you realize, like, that has nothing to do with sex appeal. Like, the physical, this is not.
Right, that's right.
Not
it's all.
No, wait, so, sorry. So keep going. So you went, it was Jason, then Keanu, then it was never really Brad, although we all agree that Brad Pitt is incredible.
Like,
and
objectively,
also
it's like, yeah, objectively, that's just like a,
incredibly
okay,
handsome and
nobody's going to dispute that.
Yeah. And a great guy. Keep going.
Now, talk about Riz. You got a lot of Riz. And I didn't know, Tracy, and I didn't know. I was like, why doesn't she have her own podcast? And now you do, and it's called I Am America.
It is very different from a Riz podcast, though.
Wait, like, wait, not, what? Tell me, when did it start, and how is it? How
it's not. It's not a muh podcast.
Don't. It's not a thing.
We're gonna make it a thing.
Just pick a different syllable,
now,
bro.
I'm embarrassed in the way that my kids are. God,
I can't wait to see those
Jason's
boys
about
again.
To dab. Jason's about to dab. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, look at Mama.
He doesn't even know.
Did I do it right?
No.
No?
You did not. Okay. I don't even know. That looked like something from cheer camp.
Hi. Ready? Okay.
Ready.
Break. And go.
Our team.
Yes,
is
I have a podcast that is January 31st that I'm very excited about. It's called I Am America. And we meet people who are redefining their own identity and the idea of community and what I think is the possibility of our country. And the thing that's so exciting to me is it's the best of our country and a version that I just don't hear enough of.
I love that.
People that are looking to belong and end up creating a sense of belonging for so many others. And so they tell their own stories. It's some people you might know, some you don't know at all. Mm-hmm. Deanna Van Buren, who is one of very few Black female architects. A man by the name of Tony Hillary, who started Harlem Grown in New York, and his beautiful story and realizing that, you know, that it takes a lot to grow children, and it's not what you expect. Mm-hmm. Keir Gaines, who's a therapist, a Black male therapist, and really works with people. And so I then sort of create context. And so much of what happens for the Black and brown stories in this country is they're decontextualized and we don't get to really hear the context and the fertility, the sort of depth of their stories. And so I do the intro and the outro and I sort of frame and give context to their stories.
Oh, cool.
And I'm just very excited about it. Every time I listen and in the editing process, I moved to tears at how beautiful these stories and these people are. So it's been really fun for me.
I love that. That's great. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, it's fun.
You say we, is it you by yourself or just you and your team of people?
Me and my team. We've put together a really beautiful team that honestly is just as beautiful of a tapestry as the people we're interviewing. Just amazing people doing our sound design and our producer, Nicole Hill. It's really been a really fulfilling process for me.
That's great.
That's so great. I love it. Awesome. I can't wait to hear it. Well, you know, we've taken up too much of your time. I love people with two names. I love people with three names even more. Tracy Ellis Ross, you're amazing. Thank you
this
for being here.
This has been so much fun. Yeah. I am a huge fan.
You know how much I love
yours.
You so much.
God, you're so funny. You're so hilarious.
Yeah.
My God.
You are. You are.
You are. It's so kind. Great to meet you and to talk to you. And you got a ton of riz.
Riz.
I'm just going to leave you with that last little bit of ma.
Thank you. I know you're busy with
thank
all the
you
stuff,
so much.
The products you got going on and the lines.
Oh, yeah,
and
Pattern Beauty. It's been really fun. It's a really fun thing getting to this point in one's career where you actually can start creating things and not just, you know, waiting for
boss.
The next job. Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to get here, so it's fun.
Yeah, well, you worked your buns off, so, kudos to you.
Congratulations.
No, I still have really, really nice buns. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sweet buns, hot buns.
Sweet buns, yeah.
Hot buns. Sticky buns.
Okay, amazing.
All right, honey.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Tracy.
Thank you so much.
Hope
what
to
a
see
pleasure.
You soon. Bye, sweetie.
Mwah.
How great is she? Jason, have you ever met her?
I have. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super duper nice. Tracy.
Well, what about you? Had you met her before?
I've never met her before.
Isn't she unbelievably funny?
She's so cool.
Yeah. She truly does have charisma.
Oh, my God. I mean, off the charts.
I think she could talk about, like, and I know Dana Carvey was on a recent show. It's like, she could do like sketch, like be a super huge sketch comedy person.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
she is not slow.
Yeah, she's fucking witty. And
she's so witty and so funny. And,
the energy. And you know what? Like a lot of people, there's this equation, I think, like that suits certain, you know, names and celebrities or whatever, if your name equals joy, I think you got something. And I think her name, Tracy, I think she just equals joy. I think she's so joyful. And
when you hear her name, you think joy.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Don't you?
What do you think people think of when they hear your name?
I got to take a potty break or something.
Yeah. Oh, Sean Hayes, I got a shit. Yeah.
No, yeah. People, they get like it's also a good, stomach. It's a good feeling. Also, Sean is another person just like Tracy Ellis Ross, who you're like, that person brings good positive energy and I think laughter and it's fun and good. Seriously, they do. That's how I feel when I think of you.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
There's no butt coming here, huh?
I know. No, I thought no, I was no, waiting no, for a big butt. No.
Huh.
But we didn't get a chance to talk about, that's very sweet, Will. I love you guys very much.
I love you very much.
But we didn't get a chance to talk about all of her, products and all the products of the products, which are called.
Are you talking about the bye product?
Bye.
Why do you always have to make it sound like someone's getting stuck in a vice?
I do, or Will.
Bye. Hey, bye.
Bye.
Smart. Less. Smart. Less.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbago.
Smart. Less.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on Smartless, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye. Seps.